to courts and squares and waterfronts equally forgotten, and in the cyclopean modern towers and pinnacles that rise blackly Babylonian under waning moons, I had found instead only a sense of horror and oppression, which threatened to master, paralyze, and annihilate me. The disillusion had been gradual. Coming from the first time upon the town, I had seen it in the sunset from a bridge, majestic above its waters, its incredible peaks and pyramids rising flower-like and delicate from pools of violet mist to play with the flaming golden clouds and the first stars of evening. Then it had lighted up window by window above the shimmering tides where lanterns nodded and glided and deep horns bayed weird harmonies, and itself become a starry firmament of dream, redolent of fairy music, and one with the marvels of Carcassonne and Samarkand and El Dorado, and all glorious and half-fabulous cities. Shortly afterward, I was taken through those antique ways so dear to my fancy, narrow, curving alleys and passages where rows of red Georgian brick blinked with small paned dormers above pillared doorways that had looked on gilded sedans and paneled coaches. And in the first flush of realization of these long-wished things, I thought I had indeed achieved such treasures as would make me, in time, a poet. But success and happiness were not to be. Garish daylight should only squalor and alienage, and the noxious elephantiasis of climbing, spreading stone, where the moon had hinted of loveliness and elder magic. And the throngs of people that seethed through the flume-like streets were squat, swarthy strangers with hardened faces and narrow eyes. Shrewd strangers without dreams and without kinship to the scenes about them, who could never mean aught to a blue-eyed man of the old folk, with the love of fair green lanes and white New England village steeples in his heart. Instead of the poems I had hoped for, there came only a shuddering blankness and ineffable loneliness. And I saw at last a fearful truth which no one had ever dared to breathe before. The unwhisperable secret of secrets, the fact that this city of stone and strider is not a sentient perpetuation of old New York as London is of old London and Paris of old Paris, but that it is in fact quite dead, its sprawling body imperfectly embalmed and infested with queer animate things which have nothing to do with it as it was in life. Upon making this discovery, I ceased to sleep comfortably, though something of resigned tranquility came back as I gradually formed the habit of keeping off the streets by day and venturing abroad only at night when darkness calls forth what little of the past still hovers wraith-like about, and old white doorways remember the stalwart forms that once passed through them. With this mode of relief, I even wrote a few poems, and still refrained from going home to my people, lest I seem to crawl back ignobly in defeat. Then, on a sleepless night's walk, I met the men. T'was in a grotesque hidden courtyard of the Greenwich section, for there, in my ignorance, I had settled, having heard of the place as a natural home of poets and artists. The archaic lanes and houses and unexpected bits of square and court had indeed delighted me.